2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Sick with it, brother.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of the RSL show. This show is televised? Recorded. It's going to be on YouTube, so it's just a still shot, nothing crazy, but host Andy Munoz, we got the host slash intern.
Alex Naples. Hi, everybody. How's it going?
Good job. Forgot his name for a sec. Josh?
I'm down here. I'm Josh.
What's up, dude? Hey. How you doing?
Hey, I'm good, you know?
Yeah, you're doing all right?
Yeah, I'm just contemplating the state of RSL.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Very cool,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of...
I was honestly just thinking of how salty I want to be today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you want to be salty, though?
I don't know.
What's wrong with...
I'm just salty.
I mean, there's some positives happening.
Are there?
Tom Hackett got Pablo to talk a little bit about, you know, transfer window, and Pablo essentially... confirmed, because he went on ESPN and talked about it too.
Yeah.
Three signings?
I'll believe it when I see it.
And what did he say? Forward? Well, like striker,
midfielder. He said attacker.
Oh, attacker, midfielder,
left back. Again, I'll believe it when I see it. Anything could happen.
Yeah.
I'm just not going to get my hopes up for anything.
Okay, but hang on. Why? Okay, if you're Pablo Mascherini,
why are you going to go and talk and say these things?
He
could think they're done, but then like the league could be like, oh, we forgot to send a fax again, and you don't get your player again.
Gotcha.
You know what I mean? Things outside of Pablo's control.
A fax, dude. A fax. A fax.
I'll have to ask Trey about that one.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, they still have fax machines, huh?
It's a thing. It happened.
Wow. Oh, fax machines.
Yeah, do you remember?
Do you know what a fax machine is?
I remember a fax machine.
Yeah.
The Iceland American striker kid. His name's slipping me.
It was Aaron Johansson?
I think it was Johansson.
Oh, yeah.
We were apparently going to sign him at one point, and something got lost in the internet fax world, and it didn't happen.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Or I could be like completely dreaming that this was a thing, but I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay.
But either way. Until, like, I see the announcement, like...
You're that old. You confuse dreams with reality.
Dude.
That's what I do.
It's hot outside. I get a little delusional.
Yeah.
You know, it happens.
Yeah.
I do like Pablo's comments.
I do. I enjoyed how candid he was.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I like him because not only does he put to rest a little bit of the fans' kind of worries, but he also puts a little bit more pressure on Elliot and the front office to be like, hey... let's get these over the line. We couldn't get these X amounts over the line. Let's get these three over the line. Let's do it.
And you know Pablo wants players, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Like he's not going, no, I don't want
this thing. He said it multiple times.
Yeah.
He said it over and over again. We lost three. He wants three.
Yeah. So for context, for those who haven't seen it on social media, Tom Hackett and I went to Real Salt Lake training. We actually have way more interviews than that 2 to 3 minute clip you guys saw online. So on this episode, afterward on talking and kind of previewing a few things, stick around because we did speak to Andrew Brody. We have an interview with him. We have an interview with, is it Zach Farnsworth?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So he's kind of coming out of injury right now. He had some cool words. And then we're going to throw Pablo Mascherini at the end of that. Prior to those three interviews, we actually just got done speaking with Major League Soccer analyst Jaime Macias. He's a sports analyst, sports commentator for Major League Soccer, for Major League Soccer Espanol. has a lot of experience in the league, so we kind of got his help on previewing the Real Salt Lake matchup versus LAFC. So this episode is pretty much jam-packed. It's going to be like three episodes crammed into one.
Put it in one.
So we're just trying to contend with those podcasts that talk for 2 hours, 2.5 hours. Except us, we're just all soccer.
We can do social hour.
You want to do social hour a little bit?
No, I don't. Well, if we do, we can do it about the pickup game.
Oh, and yeah. Just,
you know, give a shout-out thank you to everyone that came.
Yeah, how was your experience with pickup game?
Oh, it was fine.
Yeah?
It was hot.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I thought the turnout was just right.
Yeah.
You know, we had two separate games going, four teams.
Plenty of adults.
Yeah.
Plenty of kids.
Good mix.
Did you have fun, Alex?
Plenty of action.
Yeah, dude, I had a great time. It was very interesting for me. Because, I mean, you guys have obviously done this multiple times, but this is my first one. And just being out there and being able to talk to our listeners, being able to talk to and kind of meet people like I've interacted on Twitter and like didn't really know in person. To me, that was super cool. And that's probably what made it the most fun out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. But, we used to do like events at bars. We know that you're not old enough yet to go into a bar, but maybe one day when you're old enough.
Another Fan Friday would be fun. It's been a long time.
Yeah, it was really cool, man. Like, the bar that we went to, like, they gave us the stage, and we had mics, and we were doing prizes.
Like, 100 people show up or so. Like, yeah. There's pictures where you're like, wow, that many people came?
We should do it.
Yeah.
Yeah, we should do it.
It was because Jake was still a part of the show.
Yeah, no one would come now.
Yeah.
We should do it. No, we should do it.
No, we'll do it, yeah. We'll do it at a Chuck E. Cheese before your 21st. We'll do it at
I'm 22.
Yeah, all right, you're 22. Very cool. No, pickup soccer was a lot of fun. It was great. I'm trying to think what other events or what other things that have we done since then.
The San Jose game.
There's a San Jose game.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. We obviously, we previewed that game. We didn't talk about the results. No, we didn't talk about the results. So first off, let's go ahead and we'll cut off social hour. Great social hour.
Yeah, that was good.
Are you reading any interesting books, Alex?
Carry on.
No?
Carry on. No, not really.
So right. San Jose.
All right, San Jose. So San Jose, there's a lot of conflict online with people saying, hey, this felt like a loss more than a win. I agree with you guys on that, but there's a piece of me that likes the fight that I had seen, especially for the was it the equalizer? Was it Miram going up the left side, doing the little footwork, making him dance, and getting the assist? Right.
Yes.
It's an exciting game in the sense that historically we don't do well against teams that are struggling, and we don't do well on the road.
Right.
So although you'd like to see that as a win, I chalk that up to a loss, and so walking away with like a 2-2 draw, to me that's actually a positive.
Sure, I think the biggest negative for me coming out of that game was how self-inflicting RSL was. Obviously, that penalty, that's a harsh call, right? Like, Justin Glad knew nothing about that ball. Whatever, it is what it is. It's a rule no one likes. So they go up 1-0. Obviously, a bad giveaway. It was Herrera on that goal, right?
The bad clearance, the bad clearance was Herrera.
So, mistakes were made prior, shooting ourselves in the foot a bit. Not a great start. You know, kind of set the tone. And then for a while, a lot of just poor giveaways from RSL, right? Like bad possession, you know, bad passes, bad choices of passes, culminating with Zach McMath's extremely questionable, I don't know what he was trying to do, pass that led to the second goal. You know, without RSL's errors, per se, two bad clearances, you know, we're not down 2-0. Or did Loftleson score before their second?
It was 1-1 before their second.
Okay, yeah. So, excuse me. I got the timeline all wrong. But either way, we're not conceding two goals to a fairly poor to average San Jose, right? The positives were Loftleson getting a goal finally.
Shout out.
Everyone's pumped, right? It was a beautiful goal. Some sweet footwork by Brody. A nice pass. Excellent finish.
You know, talk about Brody real quick. Is he what's what? Well, what grade would you give him letter-wise this match?
Like a B.
B?
I think I agree.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
You know, not harsh, but like he wasn't the player of the match for
me. You wouldn't go B+?
If you want to go B+, we can go B+.
All right. What would you have to do for extra credit to get that
score
A-? Okay. I like that, actually. Yeah, you can't, you're not in the A range if
you're
not scoring goals.
No, you're scoring a goal, yeah.
Okay.
Any other questions about Brody?
No.
Okay.
We'll hear more from Brody at the end of this.
Yeah. You have an interview.
Yep.
So, yeah, Lawfulson scores. Everyone's pumped, right? Like, finally. Love to see it. Then the McMath thing happens.
Terrible.
And at that point, I'm in my head, I'm like, oh, my God. Why am I even watching this? You know what I mean? Like, this is ridiculous. What are we doing? And then Sava in stoppage time. Thanks to a little bit of poor goalkeeping. I don't know if you guys will agree with that, but still a great finish, right? A hard take, you know, on the corner of the goal, off the volley.
Oh,
he hits it hard enough to make the goalkeeper mess up, but, like, the goalkeeper should have saved this, right? But either way, we were pushing, and he got the goal, and that's all that really matters, right? You put things in the box, you put it in the mixer, you put them on frame, things will go in. So I was pumped on that. For me, the biggest annoyance this match, which would have changed the whole tone of everything, was Cordova's miss.
Yeah, we knew that was coming.
And I know last episode we kind of talked about patience with Cordova, et cetera, et cetera. My patience is gone, right?
That's
like
fair.
That just was like, put him on the bench. He can come off the bench now. Like,
was it a slip that he just didn't get enough power on his left?
We still don't know.
Or did he get tripped up?
Like, I think he just hit
that ball so soft.
No. I think he just got excited.
And he was contesting for, you know, calling it that it was that it did go on the line.
Across the line, it didn't, right? Like, buddy, he had three or four opportunities to put that away.
Yeah.
On that one breakaway. And it just was so bad.
So bad. What's your stance on Cordova? You've lost patience.
Oh, they could terminate his loan tomorrow. I wouldn't care.
Really?
Well, first he scores at home and like hushes the crowd, right?
That's still up for debate.
That's where I'm my head.
I still don't think that he was shushing fans.
Either way, like he's not productive enough for me at the point. I would love to see him play on the right where he's supposed to play. Again, this comes down to us not having strikers, but then you have Savarino on the right now. So like, what do we do? We're back in a conundrum. I'm over the Cordova experiment. I wish we had a striker that just scored goals. That's all I wish.
Yeah.
I just want someone to produce.
Alex, what do you think, man? Are you still in your words, Cordova fan?
Yes and no. Yes, because I still think that he has the potential. Like, it's there. It's there. But I think maybe now it's time to leave him on the bench for a little bit.
Yeah,
have him come off the bench because that miss, you have to score that, man. You have to score that.
I swear, dude, Josh was like at the ready to pounce on you.
And
the minute you said bench him, he literally relaxed back into his chair. What is up with you, bro? Are you okay?
Told you I was debating on how salty I want to be, bro. All
right.
All I want is someone to score some goals.
Yeah,
it's been a lot of years. It's been since Sabo that we've had someone consistently
reliable,
score.
Dependable.
And it's just getting old, man.
Bro, like, if we had like a Sabo-esque player right now,
he would be slaughtering people.
Be number one. Just there to pick up the loose balls, because that's what Sabo did.
Finish off the headers. And you could even make an argument. I don't want to make the argument that if Demir was playing the nine, we'd be doing a lot better, but we probably would, because he can at least put things away.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't want that to be the fix. Don't misinterpret me here. Like, I want us to sign someone that can do goals.
So hold up, pause for a bit. That ball is played into Demir instead of Cordova.
Demir scores that.
With his left.
Oh, yeah. Demir looks at that ball and it goes in.
Yeah.
Doesn't have to touch it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard, man. It's it still feels like an experiment at this point. But it's, you know, we're already at the tail end of the season, right?
We can't be experimenting much longer.
Yeah. And you guys can go listen back to the very first episode of the show for the season. I literally said, I think that RSL is going to come out swinging hot and then going to fizzle out at the end of the year.
Right, because the depth has been tested now, right?
Yeah.
The depth can only take you so far, but before people figure out how to play you.
Yeah.
We're at the point now where upgrades are needed badly in certain spots to keep us competitive, right? I totally love the underdog spirit, outperforming what you should be doing, whatever. But at a certain point, you got to help yourself out.
Yeah.
You got to.
Yeah.
You got to help Pablo out, right? Pablo can't be pumped to be like, well, who do I play as striker today? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or who do I rotate in now that, you know, Ruiz is out with the yellow card suspension, right? Beasler didn't do anything,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Caldwell comes in. Those guys are so one-dimensional, it's painful. Right, you might as well just have him play center back and play three center backs, play five in the back with those guys. It's just it's annoying.
I agree because I think for me the biggest issue in the San Jose game was the lack of control in the midfield.
There was none.
It was obvious Ruiz was not playing.
Right.
It was so obvious Pablo Ruiz was playing. We were outran with possession at halftime, 72-27. We didn't even have 30% of possession in that game in the first half. Second half, I think we ended up with like 40-something. I don't even remember. But still, like, we had no control throughout that midfield. And Sava was physically, visibly frustrated throughout the entire game because he was not getting fed. He wasn't getting the ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
We needed to control that midfield in order to get Severino the balls, and I think that for me, just the way that RSL played, it's a good enough result to get the draw, because we did not play well.
No, we put ourselves in that position, right? Had we not turned the ball over, it still would have been an ugly match, but we would have won.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
had we had some possession, probably could have won that game.
Yeah, it's a San Jose team without Chofis and without Almeida, the coaching switch. Basically. Yeah. So, you would expect more a lot from that team. But now we face off against Los Angeles Football Club, LAFC. They come into town Saturday. Are you guys going to be at that match?
Unfortunately, I will not be.
Oh, man.
And I'm very sad about it.
Well, where are you going?
I'll tell you off air.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
That's prior commitments I've made that.
Gotcha.
But I'm like, it's the one match I was super pumped.
Bail on it, dude. You got to bail on it for bail.
Bail for bail.
Gareth Bale. Yeah, it's going to be
chill
sweet.
Chill for Chiellini.
Chill for Chiellini. I like that. That's great, dude. Yeah.
Yeah, but the problem is I'd be at the LAFC match cheering for LAFC. So.
Oh, man.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. I will be there. I'll be able to shoot the game. It's a high-profile game that, we want that footage. So
yeah, I'm hoping I can make the first half and then just dip at halftime.
Gotcha.
So,
what about you? Did you go in?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Catch me there.
Yeah. Catch him outside in the press box.
There you go.
Representing. By the way, if you guys like the tweeting that's happening during the games when it's more so question based or take based, that's Alex.
Analytic based,
that's Alex. All I do these days is just clip the goals and I put them out there. Or the not so hot. The not highlights, the low lights. Yeah. I'm pumped. In the interview with Pablo, you'll kind of hear it too. They get excited to play big market teams like LAFC, you know, favorite clubs of the league, only because it's, you know, the players themselves kind of get to see if they're at that level.
Right.
Of play. And it's not to say that for our veteran players who we clearly know are at that level, but it's more of like the rotational players, the younger guys. Yeah, exactly. So it's going to be a real challenge, and it's kind of hard to preview this game.
It is.
Because it can go either way.
But we can talk about how, you know, with the lower table teams, how RSL plays to the level of their opponent. The same thing can be said when they play better teams. I look forward to the games against upper echelon teams more than I do Colorado, right? Because Colorado, I know they're going to come in, just make it ugly. San Jose, come in, make it ugly, you know.
Yeah.
But when we play LAFC, Seattle, you know, all these other teams, we play well generally, right?
Yeah.
There's the obvious outliers where we just get smoked or whatever, but that happens to everyone. So I look forward to these games, and like I've said before with RSL, with trap games, this is a trap game for LAFC.
Yeah.
Right. Coming in against an opponent that can beat them, right? We can beat them away from home. Like, we're home. We got the altitude. We have the fans. So, you know, there's a good possibility we beat LAFC, and I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah. I mean, it's just you know, when you look at the roster, it is a scary roster.
Oh, it's
right.
It's completely stacked, it's right?
The most deep roster in
yeah.
all the
league. I still believe, like, I'm waiting for next year to come around and they get Inter Miami because. Because they broke rules, right? Like, it makes no sense that Gareth Bale is not a DP.
Yeah, you've got Gareth.
Explain it to me.
Yeah, so let's just kind of run through it. So, and these are all just kind of like household common names. So you've got, you know, on the lower tier, you've got Cifuentes, still a big name.
Dude, I would take him in an instant.
Scores plenty of goals. And then you've got, you know, you got a not so low-ranked name. You've got Chiellini, right? On the defense. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just, it's weird how you have a presence at almost every position. which is smart. So you've got Chalania on the defense. You got Latif Blessing, also a great player.
I can't stand that guy. But, yep.
Latif Blessing, he always just kind of...
He's pesky, bud.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He's just like, he just appears out of nowhere, yeah. Gets a goal, gets an assist. And then you've got Gareth Bale, obviously a huge name. You've got Chicho Arango, which that guy, for me, he's not necessarily on the level of Vela, like overtaking him quite yet, but he's really close.
Oh, and he scored plenty of goals. Easily. Yeah.
Yeah. You got Kellen Acosta, of course.
Carlos Vela,
mentioned him. I mean, it's just... It is a scary team, and it's a well-decorated team.
Who's their goalkeeper? That's where ALFC struggles, because they spend all their money.
Right now it's Maxime Crépeau.
Okay, yeah, so that's what I mean. Like, they don't have a great goalkeeper, so that's one weakness right there.
Yeah, it is, but I mean, it's going to be a challenge.
Oh, wait, just the Canadian guy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's decent.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Decent!
One of the best last year, but this year he's had his struggles.
Yeah. Right.
LAFC
generally spends less on their goalkeepers because they're so stacked otherwise.
So out of that entire list, they have two designated players. Any guesses as to like who the designated player is?
Carlos Vela,
and then their young designated player is Brian Rodriguez.
Yeah, who is supposedly leaving.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, the whole Brian Rodriguez situation, I feel bad for him. Honestly, like, he was supposed to come in. He was supposed to replace Diego Rossi.
Yeah, it just didn't pan out.
Who was their great player. And then Brian Rodriguez just comes in, battles injury, battles fitness, battles minutes. Just hasn't had the best run with LAFC. There's rumors that Flamengo and a couple of the Brazilian teams are interested, but we'll see what happens.
I feel like there's been rumors around him leaving since he signed.
Probably, yeah.
It's weird. Diego Rossi, man, that's huge guy. He's in Turkey now. I mean, it's not that he like faded out, but it's when they go to leagues like that, you just don't see the news.
You don't see it like, I don't see it as a step up either.
No. That's kind of like plan B, plan C even.
Or it's just they're willing to pay me ungodly amounts of money, so whatever.
yeah, that's a good point. Let's see, in other soccer news,
John Brooks is going to San Jose, apparently.
Oh yeah, that just came out today,
so that's neat.
That just came out today.
Very cool. Yeah.
And he's like, I don't even know who that is.
No. Wolfsburg. Gotcha.
Yeah, American center back that's been snubbed from the national team.
He's been frozen out of the national team. Like,
completely left out.
Berhalter wants no part of him whatsoever, which surprises me, honestly.
Yeah, interesting. I'm looking at it now. I'm just reading stuff. Okay, so where are we feeling good about the LAFC Real Salt Lake game?
I feel better about it than I would if it was against FC Cincinnati.
Weirdly enough, I got a good feeling about it, man.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hopefully we don't get completely smashed.
It's happened.
It has happened. Very first game here.
Yeah. What was the scoreline? Like
5-1.
It was
so bad, bro.
Yeah. And we were actually like in pretty good form, too.
In the very beginning, yeah. And then I remember it just all went
Yeah,
crap.
They scored like 3 goals in the first 20 minutes. It was
I was so embarrassed.
It was embarrassing.
I was like ready for that just game to match, or excuse me, that game to end.
Same.
There should be like a mercy rule. 5-0, done.
I think I had prom that day, and I took a girl. And I was like, hey, let's go to the NRSL game. And then it was kind of embarrassing taking someone to that game and then just getting absolutely demolished.
Yeah.
It was sucked.
Because then it puts you in a bad mood, too.
Yeah. I was
That's really cool, man, that you got a date to prom.
I did.
All right. All right. Let's go.
I'm sure
his
sister loved it.
I'm feeling good about this. I feel like this is a good opportunity to pull 3 points at home versus LAFC. And I think the excitement, that energy is in the air. Like I said, when you talk to, or excuse me, when you listen to the interviews, and we're talking to Pablo, to Brody, and even Farnsworth, you know, whether he's playing or not, they're excited to see those players, you know.
How could you not be, right? Yeah. Like, I wonder who's calling dibs on getting Bale's jersey, right?
Farnsworth was saying, like, you know, he was just like starstruck. Like, he had seen Chiellini once in person, like 5 feet away, and he's just like, just watching his movements. Like,
because he's a center back too, and that's probably someone. I mean, dude's 40 years old, so he's been he's been watching him his entire life.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's going to be a cool environment. Hopefully RSL goes for the 12th sellout. Damn it, we forgot to ask if that was legit or not. There's a lot of like things that are it's going to be weird, man. We're going to have to get like one of those dudes on a lie detector test or something. You know? Have you heard anything? What have you heard, bro? Cuz I've heard some stuff. The conspiracy of the ticket sellouts.
Oh, like handing tickets out, things like that. Yeah, I've heard some conspiracy.
Yeah.
But I don't want to get into that.
Me neither. I don't want to slander anybody, but it's fun. It's fun to just,
I love conspiracy theories.
Yeah.
There's some other conspiracy theories going around, but I'm not going to light those fires.
Really?
Yeah.
Alex, what do you think, dude? Okay, so you've been at the press box, right? So when they come around and they hand you the little piece of paper with the attendance, and the number says, hey, it's a full sellout. We have, what's the number usually, like 28,000 or something? 20,000?
20, just 20 plus, yeah.
It's like, hey, 20,149. And then you look at the stadium. I mean, do you think at some point there was like 20,000 plus people there? We can put you on the spot. That's why.
Oh, okay. I feel like in most games, we do get enough. In most games, we do get enough. There are some games, for example, the Sunday game against SKC, where I got the attendance number, and I was like, no, that can't be right, because there was a lot of empty seats. But for the most part, like being up there, I feel like it's a pretty packed house for the most part.
Okay. All right. Very, very politically.
I think the SKC game is the only one where I'm like,
Yeah.
Maybe not.
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, but you could also say weather. Sunday tickets were sold, people just didn't come.
Yeah.
I don't know how it works.
I don't know, man. That just seems like a early season goal to be like, hey, have we ever registered a full season sellout?
I don't even think during the Fortress days we did, so
yeah, man, those were the days, bro.
Those were the days, man.
The air was
scoring
just different
goals, happy times.
It wasn't hot.
It was hot.
Okay. Whatever.
It's hot every summer, dude.
Yeah. What else? Anything, summer heat is not new. Anything else interesting happening on the Real Salt Lake front aside? I mean, we already talked about it, the three potential transfers.
Okay, let me ask about the three potential transfers, because
there's a lot of new stuff, yeah.
Oh, my God. Everyone's so dramatic about it, right? So what level of transfer, right? What impact of player needs to be signed for you to be like, all right, this was a successful window?
For me, that's a tough question.
It is, because...
For me, that's a tough question because look at Demir Krylak, for example.
Sure.
When Krylak was brought over from Union Berlin...
No one knew what his
game. No one knew who he was. No one knew what he brought. And he was initially brought in to be paired up alongside Kyle Beckerman in a 4-2-3-1. Mm-hmm. He was supposed to be a defensive midfielder. He did play his first half season here with Real Salt Lake. He did play that position, but he was
a striker. Yeah,
but he was getting no one wanted him there. Like they were like, right. We don't want him. Like I remember people talking about how they didn't want Demir Krylak, and then all of a sudden, like we find a spot for him up top, and now he's a club legend. He's one of everybody's favorites, and so it's a tough question. That's a tough question for me to answer because you look at a transfer like that, and like Demir Krylak, nobody wanted him. And now he's a club favorite. And so that's kind of what I want in a signing from Real Salt Lake.
So let me phrase it differently, right? Because you never know how a signing's going to turn out, correct? Like,
right.
Or Tuño. We paid some money.
Right.
Didn't work out. We've borrowed, two guys from Blitzer clubs now? Not working out, right? So let's say the center midfielder comes from a Blitzer club who no one knows about, right?
I'm drawing a blank. Klabon and who else?
Cordova.
Oh, yeah. It's so easy to forget.
Right. Well, that's right, exactly
ahead, yeah.
Right.
Go
so,
ahead. Yeah.
Well, where was I going with this? Are you okay with them always being relatively unknown signings, or would you like to see us take a gamble on someone and spend some money once in a while? Because I feel like most of the time, we're either going to get a loan or we're going to get some random that we hope turns out like Sava Demir.
I say it's time for a recognizable name and someone within
someone
an
proven,
identity.
Right?
Yeah,
proven.
I mean, for a while we thought that was Bobby Wood. And when that happened, you can't lie. We were all really excited about Bobby Wood.
Yeah, we were hoping it would be his second coming, right?
Did it pan out the way that we wanted? No, like right now he's obviously rehabbing through injury. So it's unfair to him because we've seen the potential, some instances, like some flashes of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I think I think for what the league is doing right now, it would have to be bigger than Bobby Wood,
right?
just for that shock factor. That's what I would like to see, but I would think that like the definition of a successful transfer window is filling those three spots that everybody's been asking for.
But we could fill those three spots with Monarchs. So does that?
No, that's just what
I mean. So
yeah, it's got to be players who are somewhat proven, playing, and have some value to them outside of like their actual initial roster, like maybe, you know, playing internationally, something like that, right? National or something.
I think they were on the right path with Cuellar, and
that would have been a great signing.
This is probably the last time I will ever talk about Cuellar ever again, but they were on the right path with Cuellar because Cuellar is an international caliber player. He's in and out of the starting 11 for the Colombian national team. Like, that would have been perfect. He's not a big name per se. He's not a Gareth Bale. He's not a Carlos Vela.
But he's established.
He's an established national team player who's in and out of the starting 11. Like, he's a rotating player for Colombia.
Right.
Like, that would have been perfect.
And now we're going to be left with a project, right?
Right.
And I think that's where my frustration stems is, you know, I would like us to sign a player and me go, I know that name. I don't care if they come from, you know, Belgium, first division or something. Like, I just want to be able to look them up on Transfer Market or Wikipedia and go, oh, look, they score some goals, right?
Sure.
Like, the always signing quote-unquote project players, like, it's fun, it's fine, but just once I would like us to sign a 9 that you can go, he has a track record of scoring, we might be okay.
So what's your expectation? So Pablo's been talking about, you know, mentioned 3. Say if we get all 3, do you think that all 3 of those are going to be like
starters?
Impactful. No. Like, what would you say? 1 out of 3, 2 out of 3, 3 out of 3?
Well, we needed to be 3 out of 3, but...
What, realistic expectations?
1. I would be pumped if one of them turned out.
Okay.
And I know that's, like, so not... Like, it's just me being doubtful and salty, right? But, like, that's just the way it is. We already have Luna and Sava technically for this window. So, like, you could count Sava's success, obviously.
Which
Luna will be, like, those are 2 good lands.
Let's back it up. Yeah. So far, too good. I know, you know, the sky's falling, but when you take into account Severino and Luna,
that's
actually really, really good.
It helps, but we're still falling down the table, right?
Yeah.
We need more, right? Like, we can't.
We need more.
DLH is gone.
But
we got to get away from this, like, money ball. Overperform with an underperforming roster type thing. We need to improve drastically, like inject good players.
What did you call it? The discount rack?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, we're going to Ross Dress for Less, right? Let's go to Target.
Maybe one day.
I don't care about Nordstrom. I don't care about Bas Lienga or whatever the hell that
is.
Let's go to Target.
Yeah.
Maybe Harmon's.
Bas Lienga?
Whatever that fancy Italian thing is that, like, sells dirty Yeezys. For thousands of dollars.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Something like
I can't
that.
Say it.
Yeah.
I'm not hip. But
Sebastian Salcedo had a pair of those shoes on when I saw him. Yeah.
Yeah. But like that,
like $500 slippers.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's dope.
It's dope. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's dope.
But yeah, like I feel like we're still stuck in though. We're a small market. We have to spend super wise. I know we don't have gambling money, but we never have. Let's just bring in one player that we have to pay a lot of money to. One splash.
Yeah.
That'll shut people up, right?
Yeah.
And I tweeted today, you know, if this isn't a successful window, you know, is everyone off the bus for Elliott or is
it?
Dude,
I saw that tweet and I'm like, who's trolling right now? And then I was surprised it was you.
It was me because I'm honestly generally curious where the fan base is at, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of them are on the, we really need to improve this squad or we're going to be out on you. And I mean, that's sports, man.
Sports.
It's sports. You got to do your thing. You got to make the team better. You can't sell me on rainbows and unicorns all the time, right? I feel like a lot of times the front office is expecting us to just be thankful. Honestly, though, like,
be thankful you've got a soccer team.
Be thankful we have a team, and be thankful you have a roster.
Be thankful we let you through the door.
Right, and yes, I am thankful, but RSL is very important to us. Right, we wouldn't be so loud and passionate about it, I guess, if we didn't care.
Josh's rant. Dude.
It is my rant.
Yeah, it is. This is your
but
moment.
But we care,
dude.
Right? Like, I want to see us succeed, and always trying to flip the narrative to something positive. It doesn't always work. Right, we watch the games too. We see what goes wrong. We see where we flounder, and I want to see us work to improve those things, or it's gonna, you know, it sticks with you. It irritates you, right?
So yeah, like that.
That's my soapbox, right? Like I just want to see us get better, and very I don't want to hear that we're trying and lowballing people and all those things. So
be better,
be better.
Yeah,
I think I mean I agree for the most. I agree with basically all of that.
Don't you agree with?
Dude, no. I love Alex. Is just all, this whole episode. I agree.
That's because I'm agree. Just staring at him,
bro. Disagree. Know, right?
He's
like, come on.
Yeah,
like,
tell me what you're going
to tell him
but,
to
no,
shut
but,
up right
no,
now.
But I agree. I agree because like Pablo can only do so much with the team that he has. I feel like for the most part, Rousselake have already. We've already hit the peak of what this team can do.
This roster is 100% at its peak.
Yeah, we've already hit that peak, and so I think in order to be competitive, and you'll see later where when we talk to Jaime, I also ask him, what does RSL need to be a contender?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to start in these windows in finding the player, a Cuellar type player who's not the biggest star, but he can bring a lot of experience and a lot of new passion and a lot of new ideas into the midfield of Real Salt Lake or into the squad of Real Salt Lake. And I think that's what Real Salt Lake needs because we're really not that far off from being contenders.
Nope.
But we gotta be willing to put ourselves out there and we gotta be willing to work and negotiate more. I mean, obviously we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but like we're not
that
far.
I wish we did. This is another thing.
So what would it take? I mean, okay. A lot of people are like Elliot Fall, whatever. Does Elliot Fall need to go and do an interview? Has he done any interviews lately? Or
this is where it's also hard because he does interviews all the time, but you get nothing out of them, right?
Yeah, sure.
You just and I know they can't say everything, but a little bit more clarity would be nice. If they would control the narrative a little more, then a lot of this stuff wouldn't be coming back to him, right? If they would have gotten out in front of the Ochoa thing and controlled the narrative a little more on that, all the Ochoa outrage is not there, right? If they could get out and say, hey, we're really trying to sign players. It's just not really working out with these guys. We're trying something new. Come out and say it. You don't have to tell us who, right? Or specific details entirely, but like, be a little more open and upfront about it instead of just generic FIFA interview speak.
But where do they get that platform? I know like Pablo goes to ESPN.
Elliot's on ESPN all the time with Spence Jackets, the time.
All right, I'll have to get
and it's all more. Extreme. Like I've listened to the interviews. You have to like split hairs to try to figure out where they're going. Kurt Schmidt was on Trey's podcast a week ago, and it was the same kind of thing. It was all very just generic gobbledygook of, you know, rah rah, we're ourselves. This is what we do, and all I took out of it was negatives because all I took out of it was you're not willing to upset the locker room or whatever with a new signing. But sometimes you have to. Sometimes you got to bring a guy in that might be a bit of a dickhead, but he scores 20 goals. No one's going to be bothered by that, right? The team's going to respect you for scoring goals. So I don't know.
It's the results.
The results speak louder than the locker room's together, but we're in ninth place, right? Like,
yeah.
I don't care.
I get that.
And in sports, what keeps the team happy is the
results.
Another thing that occurred to me as we were sitting here talking is how much, and I would love to get the chance to like sit down with in front of Elliot or Pablo and ask them this question, but like how much does the injuries to Demir Krylak and Bobby Wood impact that need to go out in the transfer window and get a 9?
Yeah, I keep hearing Kurt Schmidt said this again on Trey's, I believe. Wood and Demir are close, right? Who's to say they're going to be done by the end of the season ready? Who's going to say they're going to find their form again,
mm-hmm.
right? We don't know.
Right, and that's why I'm thinking.
What's
too,
the gamble here?
That's what I'm thinking too. Like, what if they are? The expectation is that they will be ready for playoffs and they will be there. But at the same time, Demir Krylak hasn't played a game since the Toronto game at the beginning of the year.
Right.
And even then, he was injured prior to that.
Right. He isn't training. And he's not training either.
Right. And he's still 33 years old. Right. It's not like this mm-hmm. young 23-year-old that can snap back from an injury and find his form. It might take Demir a while to get his form back.
Right.
So what are we're gambling now with hopefully these two are back and better. Bobby Wood already wasn't banging goals in, right? He was doing a lot of weird intangibles, which is I respect and we need, but he wasn't producing the goals we need, right? And he's made of glass. He's hurt all the time. So we get him back for the playoffs. Who's to say he makes it two playoff games without doing his hamstring again?
And so, and then that's why I want to, like,
huge gamble.
That's why I want to go up to them and I want to be like, hey, how much are you guys depending on these guys, or how much does that influence your decision to go out there and get a nine? Because if they're really putting all their marbles into the basket that says, hey, Demir is going to be ready for playoffs, Bobby Wood's going to be ready for playoffs, what if we don't make playoffs?
Exactly. Who's going to help get us to the playoffs?
Exactly. Yeah, we don't have that producer right now.
No.
I mean, we have Sava,
but Sava can't do it on his own.
Can't do it by himself.
Give someone. Give someone. That Sava can feed, and give someone that can feed Sava.
Mm.
Whole different conversation.
Right.
Yeah. Cool. Well, I think we should wrap this up. We're at about 40 minutes.
If I go any longer, Trey is going to call me and tell me to calm down.
Nah, dude. They don't do that. there weren't many questions. We tweeted a little bit late. Mark Hymas just asked, what advantage does RSL have over an opponent like LAFC? We'll cover that here in a minute with Jaime Macias. And, yeah, does RSL get a little love from the league and national media? Yeah, you know, yeah, let's answer that. Thundercastle, why does RSL get so little love from the league and national media? As far as the small market teams go, it seems to be the best but gets the least love and coverage.
Well, let me tell you right now. You sign a $10 million striker, you get a little more love and coverage.
Yeah, of course.
Score some goals in games, you get a little more love and coverage.
It could be a really
quick
turnaround.
We were getting coverage when we were sitting in third, beating teams we shouldn't beat. But the second we dropped games, out of the conversation. Out of the power rankings conversation, out of all the conversations, right? For us to be relevant nationally, we have to win.
So what's a really good example of what you just described? A team in the league. I already have the answer. A team in the league that's not doing well, but has a freaking star caliber player that gets plenty of attention.
Columbus Crew.
DC United.
For me, it's LA Galaxy. Chicharito.
Yeah, but that's a big market, right? But they're still getting love because they have Chicharito.
Say that again. Please say Chicharito.
Chicharito.
No.
I don't know what happened. I lift as I said it. Okay?
Chicharito.
I felt
Chicharito.
Chicharito. I don't know. Chicharito. I lost it, okay?
That was good. Man.
Chicharito.
No, awesome. But you know, to me, LA Galaxy feels like a small market team.
Compared to LAFC, they are.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, they've done some pretty incredible things of, you know, getting Zlatan over the first time, and we all know how that panned out. But as of right now, Chicharito has no business getting the kind of league coverage that they get. Because they're not really performing. They're not winning games. He's not in the race for the golden boot, right? So when you think of a signing like that, that could do a lot for RSL. Whether a big player like that comes to the team and knocks it out of the park and puts us in third, second, first place. But even when you have a big star like that, that's going to get that attention. Even if the team's not doing well, guess
still
what?
Get attention.
You're still getting the coverage.
Yep.
And another point to that is, if it's not a home run of a signing, like let's say it's a big name, but it's not really, you know, producing, you know, like title runs or anything like that, it's getting the attention and the interest of other players to come and maybe look at Real Salt Lake.
Right, like, oh, he was willing to play there.
Yeah.
What do they have going on? I might be willing to go there.
Exactly. So I would love, man, I would love the day that happens. It's going to be wild because.
Right. And it doesn't have to be the biggest name either. Like, there's just so many.
Just name one. You're not going to get like crazy criticism.
Even if we would have landed Luis Suarez.
Yeah.
At 30 plus, 5 plus years old.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that seems pretty
waves, right?
Reasonable. Yeah.
Even someone on that level going out at the end of their career.
Yeah.
Ricky Puig. Puig.
Yeah, from Barcelona. Going
to
LA.
Going to LA.
Very cool. Yeah.
21-year-old.
Or like a Jesse Lingard, right? From Manchester United that's on his way out.
That would be cool.
Any of those, like, you know, they're a upper mid, like, you'd be pumped to open their FIFA pack. You'd be like, oh, sick, I can use it.
Yeah, or they're not, like, they're not getting looks within that league.
Right.
But, hey, if you want to come get some years, some lasting years out of your career, come do it at MLS.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think that's the appeal that people have. But as you see now, it's like the players who kind of paved that, well, now you're getting, like, that younger talent,
right,
the DP talent coming over. So, yeah, it'll be exciting, man. We'll see what happens. I think that's probably the best move for Real Salt Lake is to get a well-known name like that and just take that one gamble. And if it doesn't work out, then you go back to the plan of just finding the low players who end up contributing.
Do both.
Yeah.
You could even go for like a Josh Sargent for the U.S., right? Not doing well in England or Germany. I don't know where he's even playing now. I think it's still with Norwich.
Yes.
But take a gamble on him, right? He has all the potential in the world, just like Bobby Wood, but it's a known name.
Yeah.
Try it.
Yeah.
Try it.
Sebastian Soto.
He's still too good.
He's on the market.
Yeah.
Norwich doesn't want him.
Oh, dude, yeah. He's, like, trialed for a League 2 team. And got
rejected. You know, I thought you were talking about Ledesma.
Ledesma. Yeah, I'll take Ledesma. No. Soto, I don't really care about.
Yeah, Sebastian Soto, he's on the – Norwich doesn't want him.
That could
be cool.
There's rumors that MLS teams are wanting him, but he's had – he doesn't want to come to MLS. Is what he said.
Yeah.
Rather play third division England.
That's what it sounds like.
Enjoy your time, bud.
Yeah.
Enjoy your time.
Cool, guys. Well, we will wrap it up with that. Predictions real quick. LAFC versus Real Salt Lake. I will give mine. And Jaime Macias also gave us his prediction here at the end of the show. I think Real Salt Lake shows up for this one. It's at home. It's going to be a crazy crowd. It's going to be a great turnout just because it is LAFC. I'm going to say 2-1.
That's where I was going, 2-1.
2-1.
Center back scores, and either Chang or Sava scores.
And I think the score line will go, RSL goes up 1, LAFC equalizes, and then Real Salt Lake finds that winning goal.
Yep.
Well, I was going to say 2-1, but since you guys said 2-1, I don't want to say that.
No, that's cool.
Say it.
So I'm going to go.
Oh, he's disagreeing finally.
I'm going to go 1-0.
Boring.
Like.
You really think we're going to shut out LAFC? Be real.
2-1.
Okay, the scary side. The scary side in all of this, though, is if LAFC finds their form.
Oh, 6-0.
If Gareth Bale just has his breakout game against RSL,
just opens up with a hat trick.
Well, and that's the thing. RSL is one mistake away from having, or one, I guess, non-mistake from having a 2-1 win to versus a one mistake that's going to lead to a 6-0, 5-1
result. Yeah, 100%. They're going to have to be.
That's how close that game is going
to
be.
They're going to have to be clean and crisp.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah.
It might be an absolute slaughter, but we feel like we might get the win. Cool, guys.
I think Latif Blessing gets a red card.
Now, I was going to say, I thought you were going to say
Chiellini gets a red card.
Yeah. Latif Blessing is going to get he's going to put a cross in that's meant to be an assist, and it'll be a goal.
Oh, he'll score like an Olympico or something. Yeah, just something piss us off.
I hope the South goal just gives Bale and gives Chiellini
all of them.
Like, hail.
Bale,
all of them, dude. Everybody. They need to because, listen, I try to make a cool relationship with the 3252 when they were here the first time.
They don't care.
I literally went over and I was like, hey, I'm going to just go say what's up, like maybe do a scarf swap. Bro, like the dude at the top of the stairs, I try to go up and he's throwing his arms up and the police are like holding him back and he's like yelling shit at me. Like he wanted to fight me, and he hadn't even talked to me. And at that moment, I was like, "Nah, I'm not cool with this supporter section. It's weird. It's really weird. Just slow down, guys. You guys are not ultras.
I don't like that they show up to Rio Tinto and they're louder than most of our fans.
Well, to be fair, you put them up top, that noise is going to carry no matter what.
It's true.
Yeah. So.
They need to start making it uncomfortable for traveling, like for supporters.
Yeah, like Portland, where they put you behind a post.
Put them behind a post or in the blaring hot sun.
Yeah.
Move, like, just make it uncomfortable and not fun to come to away games.
Agreed. and not on the second level.
Yeah, yeah. Put them back there somewhere.
Put them in like the Maverick corner or something.
All right, guys. Cool. Well, thanks so much for hanging out with us on the RSL Show. All of your social media is found at RSL Show. Follow us. Go check us out. We put out a lot of stuff. We try to make it out to training. But yeah, stick around. We got interviews with MLS Major League Soccer analyst Jaime Macias, and we've got interviews from training with Andrew Brody, Zach Farnsworth, and Pablo Mastroini. Have fun at the game. Be safe. And oh, another thing that I wanted to bring up. There was an RSL fan who passed away who I don't...
Julie Harper.
Yeah.
She was awesome.
Yeah, I wasn't familiar with her. I know that doesn't matter, but from what I've seen and what I've heard, an awesome fan, an awesome person. We're always a Real Salt Lake family. I know they're going to be doing a get-together for her prior.
Yeah, at the tailgate.
The tailgate. So try to get there early. Just kind of show up, show support. Scarves up. Josh,
57th.
57th minute, yep. Scarves up. So keep an eye out for that information, but go out there, show support. And again, thanks for listening to the RSL Show.
Mess for the world. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else.
All right.
Where else would I be?
3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Zions Bank Real Academy. Tom Hack and Andy Munoz behind the camera. We're at Real Salt Lake Training. It's a Monday. LAFC coming into town. I'm going to speak to the gaffer, Pablo Mastroini. Hopefully a few players. Hope you enjoy. Ah!
Hey, before we hit interviews.
Yeah, man.
David Ochoa has gone to DC United. I know, yep. you were super opinionated in your articles about the David Ochoa situation. How do you feel about it now that it's kind of laid to rest?
I think it's a win-win for both parties. I think the club was sick of dealing with it. I think David Ochoa was sick of Real Salt Lake, so I think get him off. He's with Wayne Rooney now, who I'm sure he idolizes. And he has a new start, and the club doesn't have to worry about any of the nonsense that surrounded it. So win-win for both parties. Hopefully he does well. Always cheer for the best. He loves Real Salt Lake deep down. He had a tough go at it in 2022, so hopefully he can figure something out east and make it work. Win-win for me. What about you? You're speaking of opinionated. You're the one that's over here bloody barking instructions online.
if you want to hear my opinion, it's on the RSL Show at KSL Sports. Go listen to the podcast.
That's a good little pub.
Yeah. What about the criticism about maybe the club not being, you know, super transparent or quote-unquote friends of the club not being hard on Real Salt Lake? What are your comments on that? How should they respond, or what information should they put out
regarding David Ochoa?
Yeah.
What is the club gonna say? I don't understand where all of this like narrative is coming from. The club can't do anything. He was here for 6 years. They developed him. They did everything they could. He got beat out because he got injured, and then he wasn't willing to put the work and time in on the training pitch to fight for his job back. So what are they gonna say? You know, there's nothing they can say. They handled it as well as they could. Maybe over time, in the next couple of weeks, something will come out. But for now, yeah, the club just sent out a pretty basic press release saying David Ochoa's been traded to DC United. So I think personally the club did everything they could, but they're never going to bury a guy. I said this on the RSL Show a couple of weeks ago. The club is never going to bury a guy. No club will ever do that, and if they do, it's a big mistake. So I think that narrative is nonsense.
All right, ready when you guys are.
Let's go. Brody, you've had a pretty good year adjusting. I remember speaking to you prior to this season, I think it was the exit interviews, and you were like cautiously optimistic the club would play you a fair bit in 2022, but you didn't quite know. How would you assess your year so far?
No, I think I've had a good year individually. I think, you know, coming into the year, I wasn't quite sure, you know, where if they saw me as the permanent left back or if they saw me elsewhere, but, you know, with Aaron being out at the start of the year, playing some on the right, not playing on the left. But yeah, you know, for me, it's doing everything I can for the team to be able to stay on the field and help the team win.
And yourself and Justin Miram on that left-hand side, I've noticed anyway, like at the start of games when you guys are kind of pinned back, it's that left side of the formation that's really starting to open things up for Real Salt Lake. How have you developed the chemistry between yourself and Miram?
Yeah, I think we're both similar players in that we want the ball and we want to drive at players and commit guys. And when you have two guys on the same side doing that, it opens up space for the other one of us playing off the ball. So I think we've developed, you know, a good chemistry, moving off of each other and, you know, just creating different options options for each other. And, you know, you don't always have to play it. A lot of times I play that ball into Marin, overlap him knowing that he's going to cut inside and do his thing. So I think it's about just finding him the ball in good spots. And, you know, he's had an unreal year for us and continuing to get him the ball in dangerous positions where he can create.
It's not often you see a right-footed player play on the left side of the formation. Is your left foot improving?
Yeah, no, I think so. It's definitely something, you know, I work on. I think, you know, I'd like my crossing to be a little bit better, but I think it has been better in recent weeks with I think I've delivered a couple balls in there. But it's about continuing to improve every single day and get better in each and every way that I can.
And then as of late, defensively, you were doing really well. And then against San Jose, you didn't play too poorly, but you know, you gave away two pretty bad goals in the end, just soft goals, if you will. How do you rebound from something like that?
Yeah, you know, I think the last three goals we've conceded dating back to Dallas have been really soft. They've been our own mistakes. So I think it's about, you know, just staying tuned in and knowing that if maybe it's not there to play, then we put it up the field. And, you know, that's no problem. We repress and we make them deal with balls in their end. So I think it's about just limiting those little mistakes and getting back to what we were doing at the beginning of the year. And I think we'll be okay.
The adrenaline from the start of the season, I assume, is worn off. You're entering the tail end. How do you maintain that motivation to keep going? You're coming in every day, you're working, but wait, time after time. I know it can be difficult. Would you say that the group's in a good spot, despite kind of how many weeks and months you've been at it?
Yeah, you know, I think we're in a great spot. We're in a spot where we control our own destiny. It's all in our hands, whether we want a home playoff game or you know, to finish above the playoff line. So I think it's all up to us, and we can control. I think it's just about taking it one game at a time and, you know, finding ways to string together some back-to-back wins like we were able to do earlier in the year.
Did I hear correctly that you moved out of the pad from with Justin and Aaron? Yeah. What's going on?
No. I did move out, no longer with Justin Glad and those boys, but I'm only a few minutes down the road, so if I get scared in my place all alone, I can quickly drive over there.
Did you find a girlfriend? Is that what happened?
No, not quite, but I just wanted some of my own space.
Nice. And
couldn't live under landlord Justin forever, so it was time.
Are you a chef? Do you cook your own food?
Yeah, you know, I could dabble, thanks to Tate, living at that house. You know, he really taught me everything I know when it comes to cooking, so, you know, credit to him. I'm glad I met him because he taught me some decent pasta meals.
Do you eat pasta before the night before game?
Yeah, always. You know, got to get those carbs in. So that's the most important thing for me day before.
I appreciate the time.
Yeah.
Of course.
Hey, Zach.
What up, man?
How you doing?
Great.
Good to see you.
Yes, sir. You too.
This is Andy. Bro? I don't know if you've met Andy
yet. Yeah.
Social media. Yeah. I follow him. Yeah. You know, it's all good.
Is this recording?
Let's have these guys pass by real quick.
Okay. Zach, I know you've been asked this question before. It'd be rude for me not to start the conversation off. What has the last, 18-odd months been like for you?
Yeah, it's been rough, man. It's definitely been a tough time in my life. But, you know, the past, 15, 16 months of going through same things, you know, coming in, day out, working so hard to get back on the pitch. I mean, what a feeling it's been, you know, and I wouldn't be here without my support system, without my faith. You know, that's really important to me, and just leaning on that more than ever, you know, through this hard time. And I say, look, like, if I can go through that, I can go through anything, especially on the pitch. So that gives me a really good mindset going into basically my first start as a pro. So
I think it was the 77th minute against Wolves for the Monarchs a couple of weeks ago now. You trotted on, and you looked pretty comfortable out there. Would you say you were happy with that 15-odd minutes that you played?
Yeah, you know, I can't be too mad. You know, the quality's going to come back. Everything will start coming back slowly, and I know that. But just to step out there, yeah, I was buzzing, man. I did a little interview at the end, too, and I was lost for words. I was like, end up saying the same things over and over again, and I was so happy, you know. It was an unreal feeling, but yeah, it's getting there, and we'll be close.
How far away are you from like a full 90-minute match fitness?
Definitely. I mean, I got 45 at the weekend with Monarchs, and that felt really good. So I'm hoping not too much longer. So.
And then, where do you think you'll fit in with the first team? A certain position are you? I know, because I followed you at the Monarchs where you started at fullback position, mm-hmm. and then you played more central as the season went on. You look really comfortable. Mm-hmm. Are you a center back now? Is that kind of where you are at your happiest?
I think that's the role I've been building into the past year before I got hurt with Monarchs, and that was how I stepped in with preseason last year. And, you know, I assume I'll step in there, and I'll be happy to play there, happy to play left back. Throw me at the nine, I don't care. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help the team win and get a trophy, man.
Are you optimistic that your MLS debut will come in 2022, or is that an imagination that you can't quite grasp yet? You just got to take it day by day.
Yeah, it is day by day, but I want it. I want it so bad, and I've been working so hard for it. And when I get that chance, I'm going to take it and with everything I got.
Have you spoken to Pablo about how that story may unfold, what that looks like potentially, or is it?
Not yet.
No?
Not yet, no.
Okay.
Not yet.
What has Pablo, how has he helped you along this journey?
You know, he's been very motivating for me. You know, he trusts me. You know, it's been big having him kind of take me with the team. Even though when I was hurt, I was hopping in the video sessions. I was here every day with the team, and that meant a lot. You know, he could have been like, look, you're going to come in at a different time without the team so you can get more focus on the team and then focus on you. But he wanted everyone together. He wanted me with the squad, and that meant a lot, you know. And he has a lot of encouraging words to say, and, you know, I love his passion, and that's how I am. So I feed off that, and that's really good to see.
A lot of the time, I was actually watching this J.K. Rowling's commencement speech at Harvard yesterday. It was from, like, 2008. She talked about the importance of failure.
Yeah.
And not to say that you failed, but, you know, you've spent a lot of time recently kind of away from where you want to be. And so, in a sense, I'm sure it felt maybe a bit like failure.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn throughout all of that?
You know, I learned a lot about myself and how I keep myself up through adversity. You know, yes, it's those failures that lead you to win. You know, I honestly think it was Tony Finau, the golfer, that said it recently. He's like, I'm winning because I've failed so many times, and I love that, and I take that to heart. And yeah, I'm gonna fail. I'm gonna get hurt. You know, that's all part of the game. But to be able to overcome that through adversity, stay positive. You know, that's what keeps you out there, and that's what gets you to the top and to win. So,
Zach, we commend you for your efforts, and we hope nothing but the best for the future.
Thank you,
man.
Sir.
Thank you, dude.
Appreciate it.
Thank you for the time.
Yeah.
Pablo, how are you doing? I like to ask that question every now and again because I feel like you don't get it asked enough. So I feel like I need to ask how you do it mentally. Your wife was in town last week, right?
Yeah.
She's
in town. Yeah, family was in town. The kids were in town, too.
Oh, everybody.
And then they went to San Jose. So life is great. Yeah, I think, you know, it's an amazing thing. You know, I think pressure situations for me have always been my life, you know, and I think now as a coach, it's always thinking about how we got to be prepared mentally to confront the team that we're playing next and then tactically as well. And so there's really no moments to sit and pause about the big picture thing. It's really about diving deep into the process and making sure that emotionally I'm in a good place. To be able to share that with the players and then obviously with the coaching staff come up with a great tactical plan for our opponents at the weekend.
Speaking of the opponent, probably the biggest game of the year, I imagine. Supporters Shield, Leaders, LAFC, Chiellini, Gareth Bale, Carlos Lemon, they're stacked, coming into town. I imagine the stadium's going to be buzzing. What are you looking forward to the most? Is this the biggest test of Real Salt Lake so far?
I think we've confronted quite a few tests this year. But for me, this is the most exciting game of the year. And I think that when we're at our best, you know, I'd like to think that we can compete with these guys and play some good stuff, you know. And I think over the last few games, we've had fantastic moments with the ball, fantastic moments without the ball, some really good moments in transition. And there's nothing better than a game like this, an opponent like this, where they are on the table, the status of the roster, to come into town and really enjoy the moment, revel in it, and play from a place of awe and excitement about being a professional footballer with our home fans. For me, there's been a smile on my face after the San Jose game, knowing that this game was coming.
We just barely spoke to Andrew Brody, and I asked him about how the adrenaline from the start of the season's probably worn off at this point. Now you're into kind of more of a day-to-day routine, and for some players it can be a bit difficult, but given how exciting, as you mentioned, this upcoming game is this a good time for a game like this, just given the excitement that surrounds it?
Yeah, you know, for us, I think it could be a springboard game, and really... obviously, it's a game where results are important, but I think a performance against a team like LAFC can be a catalyst to everything moving beyond, you know. So again, I think the attention, the focus, more importantly, the mentality of this game, like I said earlier, it should come from a place of wanting to see where you stack up as an individual, as I did when I was playing, which is the cheesy cliche thing to say as a coach. But it's, if this is the best team and these are the best players and you have an opportunity to go there and raise your level and to see where you stand, there is nothing better. And then when you do that, and it's, you're coming from a place of like childhood love for the game. And I think that's why this game's so excited. They have a fantastic team, super well coached. Steve's done a fantastic job with the group. We're playing at home. We've had some good performances, and now it's just about putting all that together with the right mindset.
To take the conversation to a more sour note, the last couple of goals that you've conceded have been soft, for a lack of a better word. Certainly goals that you shouldn't have given up necessarily. Do you need to play more? Do you focus on the simplicity of the game when stuff like that happens?
Yeah, I think those are moments, you know, and it's you know, as a coach, if you try to fix every single moment, you'll never achieve anything, because it's, you're going into the super detailed throw-in. This guy ran off here. Yeah, there's so many things. So you expand it a bit and go big picture and say defensively on a throw or attacking throw-ins, this is what we want. And there was definitely some market improvement from the Dallas game to the San Jose from that department. And then obviously the PK call, we've given up quite a few PKs in the last, whatever it's been, month or so. Those are things that, you know, of all the PKs we've given up, this is the one where you're just like, throw your hands up and you say, you know, it's a natural reaction to protect your face. But then obviously the second goal we could have done better with, as a group, to keep possession of the ball and make the decision for Zach a little easier. So, yeah, the good thing, and what I spoke about, is even when we got broken, our recovery shape, they didn't pose a lot through the run of play. And when they did, I felt like defensively our back four did a really good job stifling it. So there's some real positives to take from it. And again, once you eliminate some of these PKs and these strange goals that are happening, I think the overall defending has been really good.
You're throwing some new faces, I guess, into the heart of the midfield. You're changing things up. There was no Pablo Ruiz last game. You threw Nick Beasley in there. What are you trying to accomplish with all that? Are you trying to figure out kind of where you're at in the heart of the midfield?
No, not really. I think that, you know, Beasley has been playing well in training in the weeks coming up to that game. And again, I think Pablo has been a staple for us. And, you know, I think without him in the lineup, we really lacked an ability to keep the ball, switch the point of attack, two things that we've been really good at the last few games. So getting Pablo back this week is really important, again, to bring an injection of energy into the group. He's been fresh, and, you know, I think he'll have to have a big game for us at the weekend. And so that was kind of the decision behind putting Bees in there. But, you know, we'll see how we go moving forward.
I've asked you this question in the past. Home games, you try and be more aggressive than on the road for obvious reasons. With LAFC and how impressive their strike power may be, does that change at all, or is it full send for Pablo Mastroianni?
I mean, you know, I think we have a way we want to play always, and if our opponents on the day are better at attacking than we are defending from the front, we'll naturally get pushed back a little bit more. But then the objective is, how do we move our lines from a deeper position to be more advanced? So I think for us, everything stays the same, other than the players that are coming in and their tendencies and what they're trying to achieve and what they're trying to achieve tactically as a team. But for us, I think it's continuing to really focus on some of the good things that we've been doing on both sides of the ball, hammer those, and then clean up some of the areas where we continue to kind of let ourselves down.
And then lastly, there's been an interesting narrative online surrounding David Ochoa and what's all going on there, and I'm sure at some point, you know, word will trickle out as to... But do you think it's a win-win for both parties here, the club... gets to move on from some of the stuff that was going on, and David gets a new lease on life under Wayne Rooney, you know, on the other side of the country. Is it a win-win?
I feel it is. I think the interesting part of this whole situation is that David and everyone in the clubhouse never had a problem. It was, you know, let's just put it this way. If he had such a problem with all of us, he wouldn't come in and hug everyone on his way out. I think it's a situation where it's a learning opportunity for a young man who might have bypassed some important stages of his professional growth because of not having a college system and because of the lapse of really a developmental system that's been in place for 10, 15 years now. And so these are lessons that he'd have to learn as a professional. And like we always talk about, experiences always hurt because they usually come from decisions that we weren't aware of, because if we had the experience, we wouldn't do that. And so my last meeting with David was, he said, I appreciate everything you're able to, you know, help me with. And then I said to him, I hope you've taken something positive from this experience, even though it was tough to go through, and look forward to you to continue your growth as a very good goalkeeper and growing your trade. And so that's how he left it. So he was happy to go to DC and experience something new. And I think, you know, all of us can rest assured that, you know, the process that was in place was the right process for the situation. And now everyone's in a good place.
Sorry, I do have one more. I do this often. I have one more question. Transfer window closes on Thursday. You said you were confident that you will hopefully bring in a number nine. I know there are other priorities on that list, not just another striker. Has that changed at all? Do you think something will come down?
No, I'm confident that we'll secure, yeah.
Go on, you can say it.
No, yeah. An attacking player, a midfield player, and an outside back.
Really? Three?
I'm pretty confident that we can do that. The guys upstairs have been doing a great job scouring the earth, looking for a player to fit in those roles. We've keyed in on three, and now it's just about getting it over the line. But fully confident in our abilities to get that done. And, you know, whilst it was a real first transfer window working together, I think it was a very educational process. And I think the biggest part of that is how collaborative it was. And so it's hopefully it gets all these things get across the line and we have you know, three new teammates that will join the group.
Appreciate you, Pablo.
All right, buddy.
As always, man. Thank you.
What's up, RSL Show listeners? It's Andy Munoz. Thanks for making it this far into the episode. We are about to wrap this one up with an interview exclusively with Jaime Macias, MLS and MLS Espanol analyst. He helps us break down the upcoming match versus LAFC. It's really good content. Stick around for it. We want to thank him for his time and eagerness to be on the show. So again, we love you guys. Keep it here for all of your Real Salt Lake content. Have a great weekend, and we will see you Saturday at the match. All right.
My friend.
Hi, man. What's going on, dude?
Good, man. It's okay. This way you want to Zoom, whatever you tell me is better. It's okay for me.
We're going to do it on the phone right now just because I don't have access to Zoom. Is that
okay?
Cool?
I can send you a link if you want, but whatever. Whatever is better for you and for your audio and everything.
You know what? Let's do it this way, just for the audio.
Okay.
I would love to have video, but yeah, you know what? Let's just
No. I mean the Zoom just for the audio, but whatever. It's okay with you.
Okay.
In pajamas, so I'm not talking
about pajamas. All right, Jaime. Hey, well, we're right now we are recording the show, and I just want to do some introductions. Of course, you know me, Andy Munoz. We work together with Major League Soccer Spanish content, and I was just telling these guys of how good of a job you do with your analysis of the league, your breakdown of the games. I love the work that you put out, and so first off, before we get started, I just want to thank you for your time for coming on to our show and allowing us to speak with you.
No, man, thank you very much, and thanks for your kind words.
Of course.
I'm kind of a nerd, so I don't know how everything ends up being logical, but thank you.
Thank you, man. And so, you know, here in the room with me, I've got Alex Napolis. He is an intern of the RSL show, which is a podcast that we've been doing about Real Salt Lake for about, you know, 6 or 7 years. So he's brand new. You'll hear from him in a minute. And then on the other side of the room, we've got Joshua Clark. He's also a host, and he's been here since the very beginning. So we'll just get started, man. And I just want to kind of have you introduce yourself to maybe people that don't know. I know that's always a a tough way to start sometimes. But, you know, how did you get into sports broadcasting, and how did you fall in love with sport of football or soccer?
Man, my dream was to be a motorsport announcer, a motorsport broadcaster. That was my goal. But it was kind of a hobby, because I never found the way of how can you do a living by calling motorsports in Latin American countries, in Ecuador, where I'm from. So that was kind of something I wanted to do, but more like a hobby, because I didn't saw a career path. But at the same time, I was playing soccer. I was a goalkeeper at a team called Emelec. It's a professional team. I was in the youth system. So, but this time I was in my last year of school, and I was doing a Formula One show on Fridays, and at the same time I was training and playing for Emelec. And by an injury and something with the rules, I got to go to the bench for the first squad for one game. So the next Friday I went to the Formula One show, and the producers tell me, hey, there's a guy with your name on the bench of the team last weekend. I said, no, it was me. So he said, how did that happen? And I explained to him. I said, no, man, you got to come here and talk about soccer, not just Formula One on the show. So I didn't do it because I was playing at the same time. But once I decided to stop playing, it was like the long move to do it.
Wow. So just like a natural projection into calling football?
Yes, a natural projection. And I've never been somebody that is like, that transmit all this excitement. And for example, sometimes people have told me, hey, you should do a Twitch, a live reaction to the things that you're seeing. And probably you're going to be disappointed, because I'm kind of always more in an analytical role. Like, things does not surprise me. And so, like, I found my position in this analyzing stuff, explaining stuff. I call myself more an analyst than a journalist, because I have, I like more knowing things to explain them than knowing things to tell them. I like as a newscaster, in this case, it's more an analyst. Like, I want to know everything I can so I can explain it better, not so that I can break it, so I can break the news. So with time, I found my position on that role. And you know, when you start working in countries like Ecuador, in the morning, You present the news, then you go and do the report on the street. Then you gotta produce your stuff. Then you are sideline reporter or call commentary on the game. So you get a chance to do everything. And at the end, all of us who have studied journalism, communication, or whatever we have studied, we're capable of doing all of those jobs.
Yeah,
we just happen to be better in one or other side of it. And you gotta be honest with you and say what you're better at.
Yeah. Well, that's really cool, man. Alex Napolis, our intern, he's huge into commentating, and that's actually something that he wants to do. But I appreciate the analytic side, because, you know, I've said it many times on this show. I tend to be more of that breaking news drama, who's first, but analytics when it comes to soccer, that's not my strong suit. So it's a good way to balance it out. But Jaime, you know, we have, you know, we took to Twitter and we were, you know, presented you as you know, an analyst of Major League Soccer, which you are. And, you know, I think the biggest gripe from the small market teams is that, you know, Real Salt Lake, teams like Real Salt Lake don't get so much love in the eyes of MLS or Major League Soccer. Do you see that differently, or is that something that you've maybe kind of seen? Because you know, we know that we focus on the big, big team projects, like, you know, LAFC naming one of them, New York City FC, of course, because they won a championship, Seattle, the Timbers. Where does Real Salt Lake kind of stack in Major League Soccer for you? And do you feel like the league gives them attention?
I think that Real Salt Lake is... We can say Real Salt Lake, it's a traditional team. It's a team that is always there. It's always fighting. It's always giving a run for their money to everybody. I think Real Salt Lake is also a quiet team, and that's what I like it about Real Salt Lake, because it's never producing headlines, and it's, at the end, it's always there. It's always fighting. It's always giving a fight for their money to anybody, and That's what I like it so much, because that's kind of my philosophy. And I always say the people I work with in different areas, it's like, it's better if they don't see us coming. And I think that's Real Salt Lake. It's better if nobody see it coming, because at the end of the day, it's going to be there. This is the team that played the final of the conference last season, and that nobody wants to face in the playoffs. So this is a sport that is about producing results, not producing headlines. And if we put that in a balance, I think that Real Salt Lake have been producing more results than headlines lately, and that's the purpose of a soccer team.
So I gotta interject a little bit, because I mean, we maybe we're more dialed in, but did you see the news kind of surrounding David Ochoa, the handling of that? A lot of people said, you know, it could have been mismanaged by the club. There wasn't communication there after, you know, the contract talks kind of going sour. And now he's at DC United, right? Is there anything that you had seen or anything that you could comment to that, or at least your take or your thoughts on that situation?
I'm going to take it in general. Like, you need to when you sign a player, you invest in that player, right? A player is an investment for a team. And when a player is getting to an end of a contract and it's probably going to sign for another team by free, you got to think in your next investment. And that, I think that something like that happened over there. Like the relationship between Real Salt Lake and David Ochoa had an expiration date, and Real Salt Lake started thinking on the future, and the future was McMath. If the situation was managed properly, I think that there's not a bright way to manage a situation like this, because you have two parts that are not gonna get into an agreement, and there is not gonna be a middle ground there. So at the end, I think that it does. If you get to this point, a player no wanna sign, and a team thinking about the future or the future investment of or whatever top name we wanna put it. There's no right way to manage it, right? All the possible outcomes are going to generate the debate that this one generate during it happen.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of movement in the league. We're seeing, you know, obviously LAFC, I think we're all excited that Gareth Bale is going to be here, I think, to put it frankly. You know, I kind of have a feeling, and this is just a feeling, it's almost like Major League Soccer may have told the teams to go search for their next star. And, you know, we got a lot of teams kind of showboating or showcasing their next stars, right? Like you got Houston Dynamo, you've got LAFC, who just recently, obviously, with Gareth Bale. I mean, I just feel like there's a movement. And is that something that just kind of excites you to see that kind of those high caliber stars coming over to MLS?
It excites me, and excites me especially because I feel that these signings, that these players are coming to MLS, we're going to see them around for a long time. That was something that was not happening before. Like when Beckham came, when Ibra came, when Henry came, we knew that they probably, if we're going to see them, like in the case of the away team, if we're going to see them one or two seasons, that was be probably what was going to happen. And now the names that are coming, I come very close to their prime, so they are gonna they are gonna be in long term roles in the league, and that also shows the price on signing players closer to their prime, because you can compete for trophies, and I think that there is a big difference, or the biggest difference in this case is what's made by Seattle. I think that Seattle. Got to MLS and at the second or the third season, it was clear that this model of bringing players closer to their prime with long-term deals closer to their prime was going to be what was going to deliver trophies. And if we go back and check the last MLS champions, apart from the Galaxy in 2014, all the other championship-winning teams has this model of signing players closer to their primes that they can deliver for 4, 5, or 6 seasons, and not being like a one season wonder.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have any questions, you guys? Have questions for Jaime?
Yeah, Jaime. First of all, this is Alex, the intern. Thank you so much for being here with us today. Hey, man, I don't know how closely you follow Real Salt Lake, but I guess since you're more of an analytics guy, I guess my question to you, man, is in a game like this where you're going up against LAFC, LAFC's at the top of the conference, top of the table, they're playing great football, they're doing really well, what kind of advantage, whether it's tactical, whether it's physical, whatever it may be, what kind of advantage does a team like Real Salt Lake have and can take advantage of LAFC here at Rio Tinto this weekend?
Going back to your point, Alex, I think that the biggest strength of the coach is being able to design a team to minimize the opponent strengths. And that's why Real Salt Lake in this season has so good numbers against teams that understandings are above them, because they are able to bring the opponent team to their level, to play in a level field, to make them uncomfortable, to disconnect their main strengths. And I think that that's something that they are going to find LAFC. LAFC, we talk about Chiellini, we talk about Palacios, we talk about Bella, we talk about Bale. But the hardcore of LAFC, and LAFC is playing at the level they are playing because of Billy Sanchez and because of Jose Cifuentes. And if Paulo is able to disconnect those guys, and we have seen Paulo being able to disconnect players on the opponent team system, well, they are going to struggle. Because they're going to need to start playing long balls. They're going to start needing Bale or Bella to come closer to the fullbacks. So they are going to need to reinvent. And when a team needs to reinvent midway to a game, well, it's going to be a long day for them.
I mean, I agree. I think that midfield three with Cifuentes, with Sanchez, and with Kellen Acosta, they're very good. And they probably are what makes the LAFC team so good. And I guess my other question to you, man, is just kind of, again, I don't know how closely you follow Real Salt Lake, but I guess my next question to you is, looking at Real Salt Lake and the roster that they have now, what kind of pieces are they missing to be a serious MLS contender?
I don't think there is a place where they're missing. I think they have a pretty balanced team. And when I said this, for example, let's take Philly, okay? And probably this week is a bad example to talk about Philly because they come by scoring 6 goals against Houston. But when you see Philly, you see their goalkeeper, you see the center back, you see their fullback, you see the midfield, and their attack is not at the level of the rest of the team. Then you get Cincinnati, for example. It's the opposite. You see those three up front, and they're way above the level what the rest of the team can perform. And when you see Real Salt Lake, I think that the quality in the different lines, it's very consistent. So that builds you a very consistent and a solid team. A very quiet team, but a very solid team. So when you improve quality, like bringing a Bale or bringing somebody like that, you are going to unbalance your team. You are going to unbalance your team. And that's why I was making emphasis on how important is Cifuentes and Ily Sanchez in LAFC. Because this dream team was not possible with them. And probably are the ones that had the least lights around the structure of that team. When you get to Seattle, for example. Seattle, from Rui Diaz to the goalkeeper, they are very consistent in quality. So what Real Salt Lake had been able to do with Cordoba, and with Saverio, it's pretty consistent what Rui was giving you in the middle of the pitch, what Miriam was being able to do on the side, what Silva is capable of doing. And for me, the biggest surprise is McMath. I was not expecting that replacing Ochoa was going to be so easy. And Ochoa is a great goalkeeper, but the season McMath had been having, it's something that, for me, came out of nowhere.
And I think a lot of us here would probably agree with that, man. But, hey, muchas gracias, Jaime, for being here with us. That's all the questions I have. I don't know if these guys have more questions for you, man.
Very cool. Yeah, Jaime, that's a great breakdown, man. Hey, are you going to be – you're going to MLS All-Star, yeah?
I have the ticket, man.
Yeah, you got the ticket. So I will see you. I look forward to going out and doing the video interviews with you and getting the all the content that we need for that week. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you, man. Always looking forward to working with you. We didn't get a chance to meet last year in Salt Lake City, so anytime you need me, I'm here, man. So thank you very much for the invite.
All right, man. Fantastic. We will we'll reconnect with you. We'll see what the result's going to be. But, hey, give us a prediction. I mean, I know that you know the state of LAFC. You've kind of seen the state of Real Salt Lake. So, and you don't need to sugarcoat it or anything like that. What do you think the scoreline will be? Who's got the upper hand this weekend?
Who's got the upper hand this weekend? That's a great question. Man, I think that this is the type of game that this team likes. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that there is a perfect score against top three teams, something like that. Mm-hmm. Because when Real Salt Lake lost against Dallas, Dallas was already falling down on the standing. So this for me is a 1-0 game. Okay. It's a 1-0 game. It's a type of game that this team likes. It's a type of games that LAFC struggle. And I don't think for example, that's when I always say, when I say I'm an analyst, a newscaster, I say like I predict how teams play, know what the result's gonna be. And I think that this is a game where LAFC is not gonna have a lot of chances. Then they can come and in an individual play out of nowhere win the game. Yes, because they have quality players, that can happen. But I don't predict a game where they are going to have a lot of chances.
Very cool. So a 1-0 win for Real Salt Lake, is that what we heard?
Yes, sir.
All right, perfect. And who do you predict is going to get the goal? Severino, Cordova, Miram?
No, it's going to be a set piece, somebody with a head or something like that.
He's going to go silver, God, yeah.
Wow, look at you, man.
You're going. It's one of those games, man. It's one of those games where the important thing is to win it.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Jaime, again, man, thank you so much for your time, and we would love to reconnect with you, and especially when you make it out to Salt Lake City again. We'll make it out to a match, go get some food before, have a drink after. We would love to see you here, man.
Man, anytime. I would love to go back there. My kids always ask me when we're coming back because they love it last year. So
awesome.
We'll try to arrange something and be back there.
All right, cool. Well, hey, I'll see you a little bit sooner, man. I'll see you in Minnesota this coming week. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Thank you, man.
All right, thank you. Bye-bye. All right, that concludes this week's episode of the RSL Show. Thank you guys so much for listening and sticking around. We brought you a ton of content this week because next week I will be in Minnesota for the MLS All-Star Match, working for MLS Espanol. So I'll be out with a team out of New York to basically video the events, the interviews, video the match, create content. It's going to be a lot of working out of the hotel, but I'm really, really excited to meet the team out of New York that I work with. And I'm really, really sad that there are no Real Salt Lake players on the roster. It honestly sucks, but it's going to be really cool. I'll be amongst some really, really cool superstars. Field access, right? Like literally running out there and getting video of these dudes as soon as the match concludes, all that good stuff. So with that being said, next week might be a little content light for the RSL show. But we'll try to see if we can do something remote. I'll be relying a little bit more on Josh, Isaac, and Alex to, bring you guys some content in some way, shape, or form. Keep it here, again, at RSL Show on the KSL Sports Network. We love you guys. Take it easy.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading Doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.